Thursday the 27th of May, Yud Dalad Sivan, Rabbi Matis Yohu Lawrence, the induction of Shevet Levi.
Good morning. Title of the shir is the induction of Shevet Levi. Towards the beginning of the parsha, the Torah recounts how Shevet Levi was meant to be inducted into their role as helpers of Aaron HaKohen and the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and generally their role, their chashivas as Levim. So I've been asked a few times if I am a Levi, that's why I'm giving the shir. No, I'm not a Levi. But the topic of the shir, the point I want to go into, is understanding the process of this induction, the various different points that the Torah mentions that have to be done, and perhaps a bit of background why this had to be done, and what zechus the Levim had to this special role. So if you have in front of you a chumash or a siddur, it's in the siddur as well, because it's in the first parsha of Baal Yisroel. I want to go through very quickly the psukim, just to highlight some of the points, so we get a good outline and a good impression of the things that are required, and then we can focus on some of them. In the short time that we have, I don't know if we'll be able to focus on all the points, but at least some of them. So, after the first few psukim in the parasha, the Torah says, "Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, es ha-levim mitoch bnei Yisrael." You have to take the bnei Yisrael, take the levim from bnei Yisrael, v'tihato eisom, and you have to be metaher them. So we'll translate to be metaher as purify, but we know obviously the word purify itself doesn't really connote very much. But it says, "V'tihato eisom," you have to be metaher them. Choisas alehem letarum. This is what you have to do for them to be metaher them. Hazei alehem meichatos. Sprinkle over them meichatos. You have to then take a razor, pass a razor over their skin, over their flesh, and then you have to wash their clothes, and then they become pure. Who is this instruction to so far? To Moshe Rabbeinu, because Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. But so far, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who has to do these things. And then it says, "V'lokhu." Etc. Two kabanas, they have to bring two animals. And that word velochu is written in the plural. So who is that referring to? And the answer is, I don't know exactly, because I looked in the Mefarshim and I couldn't really find anybody who presumably means the Levian themselves. But it's strange that the person has switched, so to speak. Until now, we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. And also the Heviru as well. That would probably refer to the Levim themselves, because Al Kol Besorom, right? We have switched person over here. Then the Hikravto es Halavim lifnei Oyemoyed. You have to cause them to come close. Again, this is in the singular now. Moshe Rabbeinu presumably has to be Makri Levim lifnei Oyemoyed. The Hikravto es Kol Adas bnei Yisrael. And then you have to assemble the entire Adas bnei Yisrael. So, not as part of this procedure of induction of the Levim, the Kal B'nai Yisrael, Adas B'nai Yisrael have to be there as well. Then, V'hikrafto es ha-Levim b'fnei Hashem, v'somcho b'nei Yisrael yedeim al Levim. Then, you have to be makri Levim b'fnei Hashem, and then the B'nai Yisrael have to be soimech their hands. They have to take their hands like this, and put their hands on top of the Levim. Okay? So let's try and get our minds working a little bit. Where do we see this concept of putting hands on top of something, smicha? What precedents do we have for that? We'll start thinking about that. And then Aaron. Now clearly we're talking about Aaron. Aaron gets involved over here. Aaron has to do tenufa. I'm not going to translate what that means, because it's a bit difficult. Aaron has to do this tenufa of the Levim, a tenufa lifnei Hashem, from the Bnei Yisrael. And now, I'm putting in the word now, but presumably that's what it means, and now they can be oved the avoidas Hashem. Now that you've been through this stage, these stages of the procedure, they can be oved Hashem. And then, Levim have to then rest their hands on the Rosh HaPorim, on the heads of the cows which were just selected, a few cows that were selected. And by the way, if you go back a couple of psukim, when it said they have to take these animals, it fed you have to take a young cow and a mincha offering, which is fine flour mixed up with oil. And the second one you have to take for a chatos. What was the first one for? It doesn't say. It just says that you take one animal, and then a second animal for a chatos. But it doesn't say what the first animal is for. Until you get later on, we'll see. Now, go back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, again, it's a command in the singular, he has to take the Levim and put them, to make them stand in front of Aaron and in front of his sons. And this time he has to do a tunufa l'Hashem. What's the difference between this tunufa and the last tunufa? Let's look at the words carefully. The first one was l'fnei Hashem, and this is a tunufa l'Hashem. Then you have to be magdil the Levim from Bnei Yisrael, v'hoyulil halevim, and the Levim will be for meat. So they're going to be for me. What does for mean? Everything is for Hashem. Everything belongs to Hashem. So the Levim are going to be. And then the pasuk says, v'achareichen yovo halevim lavo yisrael moed. Then the Levim can come to be oibid in the moed, v'dihato oisom v'inafto oisom tenufa. And then you have to be metayeh them. Again, presumably, because we started out the whole procedure with being Mataya. That was the whole introduction, is to be Mataya then. And then, Vehinafta oisom tenufa. You have to do a tenufa. Or what about this tenufa? What's the difference between this tenufa and the other two? Doesn't say about Hashem at all. The first one was Lifnei Hashem. This one was La Hashem. And this one is neither. This is just a tenufa. And then the apostle goes on in the next few psukim to explain what the role of the Levium is. I'm not going to go through all the psukim inside. That the Klal Yisrael, the Levim were given over from Klal Yisrael in place of the B'chorim, and of course Baruch has been Mekadosh the Levim, so to speak, and then the Levim were given over to Aaron Ubanov, Mitoich from Yisrael, to help serve in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. And then the Pasuk says, the Pasuk Chof, Vayas Moshe v'Aaron Choladas b'nei Yisrael l'Levim, k'choy l'asher tziv Hashem es Moshe l'Levim, k'en osu b'hem b'nei Yisrael. So Moshe and Aaron and all Adas b'nei Yisrael did everything they were meant to do for to the Levim. Everything that Hashem commanded Moshe for the Levim, that's what the Bnei Yisrael did. So, and then the pasuk goes on a little bit more, so I can go on in this context. So let's try and focus on some of the issues that we've raised. I'm not sure if we'll go answer all the questions, but if we don't answer all the questions, it's a mockum for further eon in the Mefarshim. The first concept that the Torah tells us that that has to be done is the kicha. They have to be taken. So Rashi explains, what does kicha mean? Kicha doesn't mean take them physically, pick something up. It means bedvorim. You have to take them bedvorim. What do you have to say to them? What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to say? Ashrechem shetizku liyois shamashim namokoy. Happy are you that you are, you've been zeicha to be the shamashim, the shamash, the servants, the helpers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we have the Tara procedure. What is the Tara procedure? So there's three components. There's the Mechatos, pouring Mechatos, or sprinkling Mechatos over them. The Ta'a, taking a razor and putting it over their flesh, shaving them. And Kibbutz Begodim, washing the clothes. So what is the purpose of these things? So, Rashi says, B'Shem Moshe HaDarshan, that because the Levim were going to be kapara for the Bechoros, who did avoid the Zara, in the time of the Eagle, really this role of superiority, so to speak, this special role amongst Klal Yisrael was the role of the Bechor beforehand, as the Pasuk indicates later on. But during the time of the Eagle Azav, they were over the avoid the Zara, or whatever that means on their level, it's a whole different parasha, what exactly the Avera of the avoid the Zara was. And therefore, because they did that, the Levim were put in their place because they didn't do that. The Levim didn't do that. They didn't do this Avodah Zarah. And since Avodah Zarah is called Zivchei Mason, and a Metzorah is called a mace, therefore, since the din of a Metzorah is to have Tablachas, so you have to shave a Metzorah, so too the Levim also had to have to be shaved as well. Okay, so it's quite convoluted. It's quite one stage after the other. Again, since the Bochum did Avodah Zarah, and the Levim are coming in place of them, And a Avodah Zorah is called Zivchei Mesim, and a Metzorah is called a Mace, and the din of a Metzorah is to have Taglachas, has to be shaved. So therefore, the Levim have to have that as well. That's how Rashi explained it. Other Mefarshim say, more simple, where else do we find a precedent in the Torah of someone shaving himself? Is by Yosef. Yosef, when he came out of the boil, came out of the pit and out of the prison, and he was going to go to be Omer Yisrael HaMelech in front of Paroi, it says that he shaved himself and he changed his clothes. So it's to be a Miyapa person, to make a person look more decent. That's what the one of the Foshim brings, I think it's the Rivosh, says that. The Yahweh says that. It's simply to make themselves look, which is interesting, because what about everybody else? But that's how he explains it. The Ababonel has an interesting explanation, and he says that the concept of shaving their whole body is lihisrachik mitaivus gashmius, in order to cause them to go far away from taivus gashmius. What is the connection between the two? Because the hair on the body is something which is extra to the body. It's something which is extra on top, and represents conceptually the idea of taivus gashmius, which are on top of the basic person. And the taglachas is there to try and sort of symbolize shaving that away, taking away the moisturis, the extra things, the luxuries. That's what the concept of the hair on the body represents. And the taglachas is to remove that. And the implication is the Levim, since they're coming to be Oved Lifnei Hashem, and they're going to occupy this superior role, they have to propel themselves to a madrega much higher than everybody else, completely misrachit from Gashmius. Or not completely misrachit from Gashmius, but to be misrachit from Gashmius. That is a symbolism according to the Abarbanel. Now, the Pasuk says, is mashma over here, and we saw from Rashi just now, that they have to have some kind of kapora. The Levim have to have. So what is the kapora exactly? Why do they need a kapora? What have they done wrong? So I saw brought down, the Shari'ara brings down from the Sefer Ponim Yofos, which I didn't have to check inside exactly, but he brings the whole Lashon over there, that they hadn't actually done anything specifically wrong. However, we have a concept, which the Nativ talks about a few times as well, based on a pasuk in, or it's reflected in the pasuk in Tehillim, "Besevivav nisaro ma'oid." Those people who are around Hashem, nisaro ma'oid, they are judged by a much higher standard. So the Levim, who are going from a level, so to speak, of normal Eden, up to a higher level, now they're going to be judged by higher standards. So whereas previously any actions and things they may have done may not have been considered as an avera, but now they're going up to a higher madrega, certain things that they may have done are looked at with a much finer way. And therefore, things that would not have been considered as averas beforehand might be considered as averas now. Like we find, for example, all kinds of things, the Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ovis, and things like that, where we find Chazal and the Mefarshim telling us that this was what they did wrong, and this was avera. We think, well, how can it be? They did this wrong, and Moshe Rabbeinu was punished that he didn't go into Tzitzon, and all these kinds of things. Why? Because Tzaddikim are being judged by a higher standard. And therefore the Levim over here, who were being putting up to a higher Madriga, are now going to be judged by a higher standard. And therefore, it was at this point, Dafka, that they needed some kind of kapora. And he says an interesting thing there, explains the minig of people fasting on the yard site of a parent. Or, he doesn't say this, but presumably the extra things that are done, Kaddish, etc., on the day of the yard site, is because every year the Neshama goes up to a different Madriga, higher up. Like people say, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. It's going up a Madriga. And since it's going up a Madriga, it's now going to possibly be judged by a higher standard than it was beforehand. And therefore it needs a Kapora. So Tanis and the other things, Tfilis and Kaddish and these things, are designed in order to achieve that extra Kapora that is needed for the Neshama at that time. That's how he explained it. So now, we see an interesting concept. In Pasuk Yud, the Bnei Yisrael have to rest their hands on the Levim. So what does that represent? So many Mefarshim, Rashi and Malbim, take the idea that it's like a korban. Just like when a person brought a korban to Beis HaMikdash, he had to put his hands on the korban. And as the Ramban explains there, a person puts his full koyach into the korban. It's ki'ilu, he's being makriv himself. He puts all of himself into the korban. And for the avera that he's doing, or for whatever tikkun he needs, he's putting himself into that animal. That's what was going on over here. The Levim were, so to speak, being hukravu. They were being offered up by Klal Yisrael like a korban itself. And that's why the procedures that are needed for korbanos were done over here onto the Levim themselves. And again, this is because the Levim were coming as a kapara. However, there are other mafoshim, the Chizkuni who learns, that it's a different concept. What is the idea of smicha? Where else do we find in the Torah the idea of smicha yodayim? Besides korban, besides with the korban. With Yeshua, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he transferred, so to speak, his koyach of leadership onto Yeshua, he was so meches es yodov. Given the concept of smicha nowadays, not nowadays, but the original concept of smicha represents that idea. There's a transfer of koyach from one to the other, and the way this Chizkuni writes it, it's srara. The idea of putting up somebody into a position, in the Torah's concept, is the idea of smicha. You're putting somebody, appointing somebody to a position, is referred to as smicha. And that's why it was done over here. It was to appoint them to their new, higher position, what they were doing. Now, a bigger inyan, which occurs three times over here, we saw, is the inyan of tenufa. What is this inyan of tenufa? So literally, how do we translate tenufa?
Waving.
Okay, so it's not waving, right? It's, what is tenufa? Waving, taking the item, and moving something in all directions. Like we find by various korbanos, with luluv, with the bikurim, there was a concept of tenufa. What actually happened over here, I found, is actually a machlokes. Some say he didn't wave them in all directions. Some say tenufa literally means to be menif mimokum limokum. To pick them up and to move them from one place to another, and that was what the tenufa was. Other mafashim say no, literally moving them in all different directions. Rebbe Bachai says, Aaron hoylekeach the kol echod ve'echod min alavir. Aaron would take every single one of the levim, and we learned last week there was quite a lot of levim, not as many as the rest of the shvatim, but quite a lot. He would lift them up, each one, individually, slightly from the karka, from the ground. And he would wave him. From this, people could see that Aaron must have been tremendously strong, because to pick up all these people, one after the other, and some of them might not have been so light.
How old was he?
I don't know exactly how old he was at that time, but however old he was, to do 22,000 or whatever number exactly it was, maybe less or maybe more, that itself is... It's a bit of a machlokes exactly how many of these levim were, but I didn't go into that too much. So, seemingly on one day. I don't know for sure. That's one pshat, Rabbi Bachai says. And now a better one. Not for me to say better, but... Right? So either it was the spasim from this because he was very, very strong, or it was Bederech Nes, says the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar.
Why could he have help? Couldn't
there
be some kind of waving machine?
It says, the Pasuk says, Behenif Aaron es tanavim. It makes a din on Aaron, right? Aaron has to do it. So. So that's the pasuk says, the pasuk instructs, it has to be Aaron al-Kohen. Now even better, Rabbeinu Miyuchas brings down, one of the Rishonim brings down, it wasn't one after the other, it was Kulam Babas Achas. Umaisa Neis Hoya Shanosa Ches Alofim Bnei Odom B'yodov. He learned it was 8,000 and he carried 8,000 in one go
to one place or the other.
I don't think he says which definition, but the pashtus of the pasuk is in all directions, right? The pashtus is, and therefore that's what he did b'derech nes. Now, how many tenufas actually were there? So the indication of the pasuk, if you read the pshutei shel mikra, is there were actually three. It happened on three occasions. And you'll notice, looking at the first one, which is in pasuk yud aleph. First one is Vehenif Aroin Esalavim Tenufa Lifnei Hashem. Then you have in Pasuk Yud Gimel Vehenafta Isam Tenufa Lashem, which is doesn't mention Aroin, so presumably it's been directed at Moshe, because Minas Dam most of the commands here are being directed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the first one was Aaron who did it, and the second one is Moshe Rabbeinu. The third one is again seemingly directed at Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Malbim says that what was the reason why the first one was being done by Aaron, and the second one was seemingly done by Moshe? What are the two concepts which each of these tenufas actually represent? So the Malbim says that each one had its specific tafkid, its specific hayroah, he says, specific job to do. Two separate inyonim were done with the Levi'im. In an echad, I'm just reading out the Lashon HaMalbim, Shebnei Yisrael nosnu Yisrael l'Hashem. The Bnei Yisrael were giving the Levi'im over from themselves to Hashem. Ki she'ad atzo hayso avoyde b'b'chayres, because until this point avoyde was in the b'chayres. Ve'ato nosnu Bnei Yisrael es Levi'im cheref b'chayreihem. So the Bnei Yisrael were giving over the Levi'im in place of the Bechorim to Hashem. And because of that, Aaron had to wave them. And that's why the Pasuk there says, Me'eis Bnei Yisrael. Right? But Pasuk Aleph is, Be'enif Aaron is the Levi'im, Tanufa Lefin Hashem, Me'eis Bnei Yisrael. Because this was a matana, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael to Hashem. And Aaron had to do it, B'shlichus Bnei Yisrael. He was doing it as an agent on behalf of the Bnei Yisrael. That was the first element, because they're being given over to Hashem to do the Avodah in place of the Bechorim. But there was a second inyan, says Malbim. The fact that the Levim were being given over to help Aaron and his sons in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, to do Shechita and Hafshata, to skin the animals, to carry the Mishkan and all the Kalim, etc. And again, that beforehand, he says, was not done by the Bechorim. He says that was done by the Bnei Yisrael beforehand. Would have been done. There was a rite, so to speak, would have been done by Bnei Yisrael beforehand. And now, this rite was being given over, this zechus was being given over to the Levi'im. And the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu had to do this. Moshe was ma'amid the Levi'im in front of Aaron, and Moshe was mainly for his son. Because since they'd be giving it over to Aaron, it would be a bit strange for Aaron to do that snufa. This represents the giving over. So Moshe Rabbeinu did it, on behalf of Klal Yisrael, to give over these Levi'im to the Bnei Aaron. So that's the two snufas which were being done according to the Malbim. The third snufa, he doesn't really explain that much, what that represents exactly, so I won't go into that too much. So this is the basic outline of the procedures that were done to induct the Levi'im into their role. Why does the Torah actually list all of this in very great detail? What's the inyan for us? We know that everything that's recorded in the Torah is there as an inyan for us to learn something from it. Why does the Torah go in detail to understand this? So that we can understand this. So I saw in the Nesiva Sholem from the Sfonim Rebbe. So he explains that, quotes a famous Rambam in Hilchas Shmita V'Yoivel, where Rambam talks over there about the inyan of Shevet Levi. What is the inyan of Shevet Levi? The special inyan of Shevet Levi. So Rambam's words, and I'll quote you the words of the Rambam, Mipnei Shehuvdo Lavoides Hashem U'Lishol Soi. Because Shevet Levi was separated, and we see that a lot of the procedures here that we've done, that we've talked about today, are procedures of separation. In fact, the Torah actually says, V'hiftalto, you have to separate them, they have to be different from the rest of the Klal Yisrael. Bnei Shehuvda La'avodes Hashem U'Lashor Soi L'Hoireis D'Rachov HaYishorim, and their role was to be the Moirei Hayroah of Klal Yisrael, to teach Klal Yisrael Torah, to pass in the Shailas for Klal Yisrael. U'Mishpotov HaTzadikim the Rabbim, to the public, that they would give over this role, these ideas to the public, the Piskei Halacha to the Rabbim. Defikach Huvdu Midarki Ha'olam. Shevet Levi had to be separate from Darki Ha'olam, for the rest of the ways of the world. They didn't go out to the war, they didn't have Nachlo, they didn't have a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. They were supported by the rest of Klal Yisrael. They were the Chel Hashem, the army of Hashem, so to speak. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mezakeh Bnei Levi with Maisa and all the things in order to support them, that they should be able to carry on their role and do their role without interference from other things, without daigas, without worrying. They should be able to perform their role with a clear head. The Rambam carries on, famous Rambam, often quoted, "V'loy shevet Levi b'lvad." It's not only shevet Levi. Ela kol echad ve'echad mikol boi olam. Any single person, any individual person from kol boi olam, from the world, from everybody, asher nod v'arucho yisoy, who his spirit causes him to want to come forward and donate himself, so to speak. Every individual person can do this, to come as a yochid ifnei Hashem, to be the shosoi, the avdoi, the da'asas Hashem. And Hashem Baruch Hu will take care of that person. But it has to be an adivas ruach. So there's a lot of Musa Sforah speak about this Rambam, what it means, the Maisa. But the principle is that each individual person can to an extent adopt the role of Shevet Levi. But in order to do that, you have to understand the chashivas that was given to Shevet Levi. And that's why the Torah goes through, says Nesiv Shalom, all the procedures of what was going on, and all the symbolic acts that were done over here, in order that we appreciate what Shevet Levi actually was. That they are nichnas as a kaporo for Klal Yisrael, that they are moved from Klal Yisrael. As we said before, the idea of taglachas, of the shaving, is that they are moved up from taifas gashmias. All these concepts which are represented by the procedures and induction of the Levi'im are concepts which are negeah to kol echad ve'echad, to every single person. That's how the Siva Shalom, if you look inside, his marich in this inyan. So, to mention just a couple of other points, now that we know what the inyan is and what it's there to teach us, I'll finish with the idea of Tanufa as explained by the Netziv. And having gone over it quite a few times, I'm not sure if the Netziv is actually saying there was a literal Tanufa, an actual waving, or he's understanding the concept of Tanufa as the way he explained it, and you can look yourself inside, is the word Tanufa, as we've said, is to wave, but it also can mean an elevation. When you wave something, you're lifting something up. And the Netziv is explaining that each of these stages over here was another elevation of the Levi'im. They were elevated to a different daraga, to a higher spiritual madriga. And as we saw in the pasuk, the first one was Lifnei Hashem. And then we have La Hashem, just looking for the pasuk over here. The pasuk in pasuk Yud Aleph is Lifnei Hashem, Tanufa Lifnei Hashem. The pasuk the words in pasuk Yud Gimel is La Hashem. What's the difference between Lifnei Hashem and La Hashem? So Lifnei Hashem is they're being placed in front of Hashem, but they're not quite there yet, so to speak. They're not La Hashem yet. They're Lifnei Hashem. Now that they've already gone in, and the pasuk says that they are able to now ready after the first stage to be Oved in the Beis Hamikdash in the Mishkan. Now it's a Tanufa La Hashem. They automatically receive a Tanufa La Hashem. They're elevated now to another Madriga to La Hashem. So with these ideas, these concepts of the procedure of inducting the Levi'im and the symbolic acts that are going on, and the idea of the Nesiva Shalom, that these things are relevant for us, every single person, perhaps this is the message of the parasha of the induction of Shevet Levi. Thank you.